Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
So where was your call this morning?
My call?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Aren't you supposed to call and check on me in this hot weather?
Well, that's the first I've heard about it.
Aren't you supposed to call and check on the elderly?
Well, you seriously,
I could
this have
been
is,
sweltering away.
Seriously, this is a good time to check on folks that may be alone and
like
might
me.
Have some heating or air conditioning problems.
Me? You're always saying you're not the oldest one on the show. I'm the oldest one.
Yeah, you are.
So I can't even get a check-in?
Okay, I apologize.
Dean, do you need a tray of ice cubes?
Yeah, I didn't check because Shawnee said he was going to take care of it.
So it's on me now. It's all on me.
Well, you know, you're the next in line, elder-wise.
Yeah, you're the next.
I guess I am, yes, considering Andy is definitely the younger person on the crew.
Oh, yeah,
here.
Andy's got shorts on.
Yes, he does.
Would you wear shorts to work, Shawnee?
I've got them on right now.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yeah, in this kind of heat, I'm wearing shorts.
I can't see your lower extremities.
You saw fit not to come into the newsroom
this
morning.
You
were mad at me because I didn't call you. That's what it was.
I barely made it into the station. I'm so dehydrated. Had somebody done a wellness check to make sure I was okay.
We'll have engineer Bob bring you some water.
No, I'm okay. No, that's all right. I feel funny wearing shorts to work.
See, I only do it on the weekends.
Yeah,
during the week I would not, but weekends, yes. Yeah. And especially when it gets this hot, you know?
Well, we're in air conditioning.
I know, but
it's
still.
It's not like we're shoveling.
Once you leave the building, boy, it's going to be a furnace out there. You know, we're looking at the heat index.
Wait a minute. You're going to go from this air-conditioned office, where honestly it's a little cold to tell you the truth, to your air-conditioned car, correct?
Not really. Well, to the air-conditioned car. But
there's the 25 steps from the elevator to your air-conditioned car where your limousine driver is waiting for you.
With a cold beverage.
Do you know anything about this, Andy?
With a cool drink.
I just wear shorts because I want to show off my legs.
I would say of the three of us, Andy's got the best gams of all of us. Truth be told.
Dean Richards on a Windy City weekend. WGN.
Dean Richards, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome in. A slightly different tone to the show today because of the, I think, pretty shocking news last night of President Trump ordering the bombing of Iranians' nuclear sites. Shawnee, you've been, covering the X's and O's of the story this morning, explaining what's going on. And this morning, the Secretary of Defense had, was it a press conference or?
Yes.
What did we get out of that this morning?
Mainly that, according to Defense Secretary Hegseth, that three major nuclear sites in Iran suffered at least significant damage. And you may have heard the term bunker buster bombs here in the past week or so. Evidently, that is what they used, especially at a site called Fordo, where significant damage was done there.
That was supposed to be the big one, I think.
Yes, yes. And, of course, Iran has come out now saying that this is going to, you know, cause long-term consequences, and is seeing mixed reaction not only from world leaders but from congressional members as well.
On both sides
of the aisle. Sides of the aisle,
on
yes.
On both sides of the aisle, yeah. Which is... you know, that is something I'm sure we'll hear much more as the day goes on with this. But that we're going to, you know, on this Sunday show, we have always concentrated on, you know, what's going on a Sunday morning if there is breaking news. And there is breaking news this week. There is, you know, huge historic news this week with our involvement now in this. That we will cover it thoroughly, and that we will do today. So we'll get to as many of the regular features as we normally do. But let me bring in our longtime pal, Tom Mikaitis, professor of history at DePaul, terrorism expert on the Middle East. Tom, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
We appreciate it. So what was your reaction?
I'm happy to do so.
Yeah, when you heard the news last night, what was your initial reaction?
I was not surprised that he chose to attack Iran. I was surprised that it happened so quickly, because it now seems abundantly clear that the two-week window of opportunity was a feint and there was never any intention to negotiate seriously. The Europeans had begun that, and the president just sort of brushed all that aside. So, he, like everyone else, I'm concerned about the long-term consequences. And, I think to some degree, too, there was an element of this was proving to be very successful, and he wanted in on it. So by, you know, coming in when all the air defenses were already taken down and dropping the big bombs, he now can say, well, I was a tough guy. I brought it to an end. We'll see if that proves to be the case. I'm not optimistic.
Was diplomacy working at all? I mean, the argument can be made that for decades, diplomacy really hasn't worked with...
I don't know. Well, I think the thing that I can say is that it was a premature strike. I mean, that his own director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, said that they were not on the verge of getting a bomb, that they had not even made the decision to do that. And the backdrop in Israel is very interesting, because last week on the 12th, Netanyahu barely survived a vote of no confidence. And then lo and behold, he attacks Iran under this, you know, pretext. And all of a sudden, his popularity shoots back up. So, I mean, you have two individuals who are, you know, have very powerful domestic incentives for doing this. I mean, well, particularly Netanyahu. Trump, you know, to some degree, it's about ego. And Iran posed no threat to the United States or to our forces in the region. It's not that I agree they were doing good things or that there wasn't legitimate cause for concern, but I think it was premature, both the Israeli strike and the American one, because there wasn't an imminent threat. Nothing had really changed, as you mentioned, in recent years. I mean, they had supposedly had piled more. No question that was a concern. But this was not the only option. And especially after the Israelis had so severely weakened them, that would have been the time to engage, continue the negotiations and see what happens. And then if nothing progressed, you still had this option.
I heard on the news last night, I didn't think I heard it, I did hear it, that the approval rating in Israel for this action is something like 80%. It's through the roof. I don't know that there's been any similar kind of reaction here in the U.S., except, we've been hearing on both sides of the aisle this morning that there are mixed feelings about the president taking this reaction without talking to or consulting congressional leaders, et cetera. The president did run on staying out of things like this. He talked about that quite a bit, though, mm-hmm. of staying out of other people's conflicts.
Well, the interesting thing, in terms of congressional approval, this has been an issue going back to Vietnam. I mean, that you know, the presidents on both sides of the aisle, under certain circumstances, taken action with little or no congressional input, and they've argued that, well, the security exigencies necessitate that in the fast response world in which we live. In terms of his campaign promises, his supporters have said yes, but he also said under no circumstances should Iran get a bomb. So they can play that either way. Americans are understandably concerned because the risk of international terrorism is going to go up. That happened in the aftermath of the invasion of Iraq. We created the conditions that made ISIS possible. The other thing that concerns me that no one's really talking about is, what does this do to Russia and China? I mean, how do we say to Russia, well, you can't go in and unilaterally attack Ukraine merely because you think there's a potential threat? Or to China, well, you know, you can't move against Taiwan or you know, extend your control in the South China Sea. Well, you know, if we act unilaterally on the world stage like this, contrary to, you know, to what the international community is saying, and in the midst of negotiations, I find that really disturbing. You know, when the Japanese did this in 1941, we called it a day of infamy. Mm-hmm. And here we are, negotiations are going on, and the president carries out a unilateral strike, just as Netanyahu did in Israel. I mean, Witkoff was all scheduled to meet with the Iranian negotiators, and not only did the Israelis attack, they took out one of the chief Iranian negotiators. So, you know, these sneak attacks just don't, you know, in the midst of negotiations, they're exactly the kind of thing we used to condemn.
Was there a need for the U.S. to be involved in this? I mean, you know, we've supported Israel, you know, and everything that they've done. Could Israel not have done this exact same thing on their own without the U.S., you know, actually dropping the bombs ourselves?
That's highly speculative. They did not have the capacity. I mean, we honestly don't know. I mean, the simple answer to your question, they had already knocked out the power to the centrifuges, and there's speculation that they'd rendered the facility ineffective. What they didn't have the ability to do was they had neither the aircraft nor the 30,000-pound bomb to drop to knock out the deep facility at Fordo. And that was what they were wanting the U.S. to do. So the argument's going to be, well, all the Israelis could do was delay the bomb-making for maybe 6 months. I'm not persuaded that's the case. But on the other hand, that's the argument that's going to be made. So we came in with, with the final blow to send in these deep bunker-busting munitions and take out the sites. And Israel, you know, clearly wanted us to do that and are celebrating that. And, you know, Netanyahu has gotten his way on this. But on the other hand, Israel had done such extensive damage that, you know, it's not clear that they would have recovered very quickly.
Yeah.
The other thing is, the superlatives. I mean, I expected Hegseth to go in and heap superlatives on the president. But, you know, yes, it was carried out with technical virtuosity flawlessly, as one would expect. But when you're taking on a severely degraded third-tier power, this is like a heavyweight fighter knocking out a lightweight. There isn't a whole lot to brag about. I'm glad, you know, everybody got out safe and alive and all that. On the other hand, despite the president's comments, we look a little bit like a bully in this one.
One of the things that I thought of last night was what kind of impact this may have on us with regard to terrorism here in the U.S. I mean, they may not have the missiles, they may not have the military capability to strike back, but Iran, has given us more than our share of terrorism events that have sent shockwaves through us. How great of a chance is that things could begin happening here in the U.S. in retaliation for this?
It's very likely, and they have a long memory. I mean, if you think back, nobody remembers it, but back to the 1980s when we accidentally shot down an Iranian Airbus. Several years later, what happened? The Pan Am Lockerbie bombing. And there's evidence of a connection there. So I think we can fully expect that they're going to try to do that. And this, you know, this is in some ways, and I'm not saying, I don't want to overgeneralize, but there's a religious worldview with them that, you know, martyrdom is something that's it's sort of a core ideology. Mm-hmm. And I expect that that's going to happen, that somewhere in the world. I mean, we have vulnerabilities, not necessarily here in the U.S., although that's a real possibility. And what we saw in Minnesota, at the, Tree of Life Synagogue, at the Pulse nightclub, is how incredibly easy it is for a single individual to carry out an attack if they don't mind dying. And in the case of Minnesota, that didn't even happen. So, you know, I think there is a real concern. I think Americans are going to have to worry when they travel now. I think that our forces in the region are going to have to be on alert, and not just in the short run. You know, yeah, you can. We're not going to. You know, we're going. They don't have the ability to match us. The other real concern I've heard repeatedly aired is that can Iran close off the Straits of Hormuz? Between 20% and 30% of the world's oil goes through there. Now that doesn't affect U.S. supplies, but it sure is going to affect the price, and the destabilizing effect of that would be very, very significant. There's just all kinds of ways that this thing could go badly for us. And I think that's why, you know, you're seeing very mixed reactions in the U.S. And I don't think you're going to see opinion polls jumping up and down and cheering. Now, if it's a one and done and it does go away and nothing follows up immediately, the president might come out of it looking good. That's a very optimistic scenario. And I don't see how Iran cannot retaliate. Because of the sheer humiliation of this. The other thing is the Ayatollah is going to go meet with Putin. What's that going to lead to?
Yeah. Is there a chance that this could have exactly the effect that President Trump wanted, where he sends this message and then they go, well, we had better negotiate with this guy because he's promised us even more hell if we don't? How possible is that?
It's possible. I don't think it's terribly likely. I think, one of the commentators last night said it, and I think it's absolutely true. There's very little consideration in this administration of long-term or even intermediate-term consequences. So let's just see this. This is what we're going to do. We send a powerful message. Yeah, I think in the short term, it might indeed work. But down the road, you know, it's still going to pay. And the other thing is, what if they don't attack U.S. forces? What if they mine the straits and they close out the oil supply? Then, what's the pretext then? Then you're having to go in to deal with the situation and be and essentially try to stop that when we haven't been attacked. I mean, it's just, the what ifs have not really been thought out. And I didn't hear any discussion of that except, threats. We'll do this if you do that. It's a truly unfortunate thing. And I think Americans have a right to be concerned and uneasy about it.
Yeah, we'll stay on top of this as there are new developments this morning. We'll certainly bring them to everyone. Tom Mikaitis is a history professor, DePaul terrorism expert. Appreciate your insight and your analysis on this. Thanks, Tom. Have a great day.
You too. Happy to help.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, despite public opinion, it's time once again for your far-flung forecast. This is a little feature that we present to you each week at this time, with fascinating facts, town populations, temperatures elsewhere. What more could you want in a radio feature?
We have all of that and more, actually, than this one.
Do we have all that and more?
We do, but I want to ask, what do you mean despite popular opinion when you introduce this?
What's not clear about that? People love the far-flung forecast. We need the far-flung forecast on days like this, especially when there are serious things going on in the world. It's like a nice taste of sorbet. It's refreshing,
especially on a day like today.
Yeah, it cleanses the palate.
Boy, I could use some lemon sorbet right now, or strawberry sorbet.
You know what I could go for right now?
What's that?
watermelon Italian ice.
Mm-mm.
Oh, nice.
I had fresh watermelon yesterday, as a matter of fact.
I love fresh watermelon.
One of my favorites. That's a summer staple for me. In fact, I'll have that for dessert after dinner, or an afternoon snack. Wonderful.
Yeah, that's delicious.
Healthy. Lovely.
It's good.
Beautiful.
I get it. I get your point.
Well, anyway, thank you for that wonderful.
Now here's Dave Schwann.
Despite public opinion.
Yeah, despite Kevin, here's Dave Schwann.
Thank you very much, Uncle Dean. And friends, get out your compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices. We head out to Nebraska today, to McCook, Nebraska. Population 7,446. Was formed in 1882.
Told you. Populations of other cities.
There you go.
Told you.
It was named in honor of a man named Alexander McDowell McCook. Mm. Get it? McCook, yeah, Nebraska.
That makes sense.
He was a general in the Union Army during the American Civil War.
Is that what McCook, Illinois is named after? Is that named after?
That's a good question. Same dude.
Mass appeal.
I will have to find out. It may well be. That's a very good observation.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome, despite popular opinion.
I'm here to ask tough questions.
But we bring up McCook because I was in conference earlier this morning with our own Tim Joyce, who does the TV weather for WGN-TV.
That's
on
correct.
Weekend mornings.
What do you mean you were in conference?
I was in conference with him.
What does that mean?
Because I conferred with a meteorologist, Joyce, on where some of the hottest places in the United States might be.
So
McCook is one of them.
You just called him on the phone, you mean?
We were in conference via electronic mail.
Oh, my.
And so.
Also known as email.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the new way of putting it now, I guess. Yes. But we were in conference, and we have arrived at the conclusion that McCook is one of the hottest places today, really almost in the country.
Really?
This real heat is affecting the plain states. They have a temperature of 86 now, but they could go up to as high as 105 temperature today.
My.
So McCook, Nebraska.
Wait, that's going to be hotter than like Phoenix or?
Yes, actually it will be.
In the Palm Springs, in the desert.
Yeah.
Although
I can tell you, Death Valley, you don't want to be outside too long there when they've had temperatures upwards of 130.
Yeah.
But today, McCook, Nebraska is going to be one of the hotter places. Could be in the temperature, not the heat index, but the temperature could be around 105. It's 86 in McCook right now.
Hmm. Okay.
So there you go.
What else do you like besides watermelon?
Oh, grapes. Any kind of fresh fruit.
Grapes.
Yes.
Oh, frozen. Yep. You like frozen grapes?
Frozen grapes are great.
Frozen grapes.
Yep.
I like to put as many in as I possibly can in my mouth.
Oh, that's...
And try to whistle.
That's a wonderful visual.
Shawnee loves when I stuff things on so he can't hear me talk.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
9:42.
Happy birthday.
And welcome in our little Sunday show with one of our favorite people of all time. Celebrated a birthday, Dr. Kevin Most. Welcome back, my friend. You are always a sight for sore ears.
Dean, it's good to talk to you. And I got to tell you, this week when Ashley reached out to me and said, hey, are you available on Sunday? I was like, gosh, it's great. Dean hasn't asked me for a couple of weeks, so this is perfect. And
yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but about Ashley. Her grandfather, I caddied for her grandfather for many years. I was 12 years old at Butterfield Country Club. Her grandfather, John DeMore, who played for the Chicago Bears, was bigger than big and would hit it a mile, not always straight. But I caddied for him so many times and such a gentleman, a polite, humble, great man. He helped me get my scholarship for college. I owe a lot to John DeMore and when Ashley said, I'm John DeMore's granddaughter, I'm like, oh, my gosh, Ashley, you can ask me to do anything.
Wow. And I'll do it. Wow. How about that? Yeah, Ashley is helping us produce the show while we're in the middle of producers right now. So I did ask her to reach out to you. How are you? And happy birthday, by the way. Kevin celebrated a big birthday this week as well.
Yeah, birthday on Tuesday, which was nice. I had spent some time with my mom and sister and got chocolate brownies instead of a birthday cake, which is nice.
That's nice.
It was great, and I appreciate it. And all the well wishes that you see in Facebook are just phenomenal. It just reminds you how humble you are to have as many friends as you are, as you have, and also how blessed we are that, you know, no day's guaranteed, Dean, and every day's a blessing.
Boy, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, we couldn't be happier for you. And let's just start off. It seems like there's always something new in COVID to talk about, and a new variant that is surging right now. It's in China, but it has arrived in the U.S. It's called Nimbus. What can you tell us about this? You know, should we be worried?
Yeah, you know, I hate to say the word worried, but I really think that we should be aware of it, because this strain actually happens to cause a very severe sore throat, and people will be like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm swallowing razor blades. And they spread fast. Look at how fast they spread before. They're even spreading faster now, because that's what happens when you get a variant. It finds a way to spread faster. So the risk of this one is not, you know, crazy as far as health-related issues, but certainly I would be concerned. The biggest concern right now is, does the vaccine work? Because this one right now is really good at evading the immune system. But they think that the vaccines are still going to be effective for them. So that's very promising. I wouldn't wait saying, are we going to get a new vaccine? But certainly summer colds are bad. You don't want to get COVID. So if you're over the age of 65, make sure you get that second COVID booster. You're due for it probably if you haven't gotten it already. But this one is going to cause very bad sore throats. And again, it'll spread very quickly. So stay away from anybody who has it.
Yeah, I see people walking around, you know, with masks. And, you know, you wonder, you know, we seem to be out of the woods with all of that now. But these are probably the really smart people running around with the masks right now that are protecting themselves and protecting others, especially this time of year when we're being a little more social because of the nicer weather. We're around people more, you know, probably a slightly greater risk of passing something along, right?
Absolutely. You know, when you look at now, individuals wearing masks, if they're in a crowded environment, great idea. If you're outside at a social event and you have a lot of space around you, okay, I wouldn't be overly concerned. But again, we always tell people, like you said earlier, Dean, it's more about protecting others sometimes than protecting yourself. You know, if you're going to go to a graduation party or you're going to go to a birthday party or whatever, you know, grandma or grandpa might be there and, you know, you don't want to get them sick. So certainly being aware of your surroundings, if you're riding a train at this time, if you're riding the L, if you're in a very tight place and your immune system isn't as great, I certainly would recommend wearing a mask.
Well, especially, you know, with the weather being as hot as it is, people are spending a little time outside, but then getting into the air conditioning. I'm wondering if being inside in an air-conditioned environment where the air is being recirculated via the air conditioner, et cetera, is that the healthiest thing in the world?
Well, again, depends on who's sick in the house, but you're absolutely right. You know, a lot of the air conditioning now is not taking in that fresh, hot air. It's recirculating the air that you have. So individuals who are sick and are in the closed environment, it's good to get out a little bit and get outside. But again, like you said, with the heat the way it is, that's a stressor on our lungs, on our heart, on our immune system. So you got to be careful there, and you got to make sure you keep a good balance at this point.
Somebody on our text line from the 773 area code says, if I get my booster now, do I need to do it again in the fall?
Yeah, you know, it's a question that'll be really interesting to see what they do with boosters between now and the fall. You know, with the mRNA now that can make a vaccine fairly quickly, is Nimbus going to force us to change? If we see that this vaccine that we have now does not protect us against Nimbus as well, we might see a change in the vaccine. There may be a recommendation. As far as if now, if you get it, will you need it in the fall? 6 months later is probably what you're going to be. This is going to be a shot that those over the age of probably 50, 55, 60 are going to get twice a year. And again, it's going to come down to a lot of people with vaccine apathy saying, you know what, it's just a bad sore throat or whatever. I still say, one, I'd rather be healthy and I can take a little shot in the arm. Two, I don't want to spread it to someone who's immunocompromised, whether it's a cancer patient or a loved one that's older. And three, I like to feel good. I don't want to swallow razor blades for 4, 5, 6 days. You know, so it's all about, you know, your mindset as far as how you feel about infectious diseases.
Yeah, let's talk about the hot weather and what kind of precautions, safeguards people should be taking in the weather like we're going to have over the next week or so. Dr. Kevin Most is back with us this morning. 312-981-7200 is the number.
Dean Richards, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
953, The Week in Health. And the great Dr. Kevin Most joining us this morning to answer questions, offer advice. So we're going to be, in the 90s, 100 degrees today. What kind of precautions should people be taking today? How safe is it to be outside for most people, Kev?
Yeah, Dean, it's not. You know, you listen to Shawnee talk to us about McCook, Nebraska, and it's really not going to be that different here. And Shawnee could have done the health segment today, you know, him talking about watermelon and how he enjoys it. Watermelon is a great fruit as far as the fluids that you can get from it, the electrolytes, so that portion of it. But getting back to your question, it's dangerous out there. We really have to be very, very careful, especially based on your age, whether you're very young or whether you're very old. These heat indexes and these humidity levels are not good. Because if everybody understands how we cool our body down, the body sweats. And they think, oh, well, that's how we cool down. Well, we cool down by sweating. But really, the water on our skin, as air blows across it, evaporates and causes us to cool down. Well, when you get the dew points, you know, up above 70 and you get the humidity, you know, 70%, 50%.
Right.
Very concerning because now all of a sudden that doesn't evaporate anymore. So now all of a sudden our cooling system has shut down and now we start heading towards heat exhaustion and then heat stroke. And both of those can be very dangerous.
Hydrate in this kind of weather.
100%. If you think you're going to be out for more than an hour, do not expect to stop at a Walgreens or stop at a vendor to get a water. Please make sure you have water with you. You know, every 15 minutes to 20 minutes, you should be taking 8 ounces if you're out in this heat. And I am a big proponent of alternating water with Gatorade. If you're only going to be out for a short period of time, say a half hour, okay, water's fine. But if you're going to be out for a couple of hours, go water and Gatorade, or it doesn't have to be Gatorade, it could be Powerade, but Waterade and water and a sports drink, because that's going to help replenish your electrolytes, which causes some problems like with muscle cramps if you don't replenish those. And it also gets you some carbohydrates, which is important as well. But yeah, you can't drink enough. You know, I can't tell you how many people have said, oh, you know, I was out for 4 hours and, you know, never had to go to the bathroom. Well, that's not something to be proud of. Yeah. That is saying you're forcing your body into a state of dehydration.
That's a red flag right there. Here's a great question from the 847 area code. Is it safer to swim in a non-chlorinated Lake Michigan or in a very chlorinated swimming pool?
It's interesting when you talk about safety at that point. You know, I look at safety in the water as two different things. Safety in a pool that's chlorinated, I know the bacteria counts are down. I know there's no parasites. There's no E. coli. It's a controlled environment. Swimming in the clear water or clean water of Lake Michigan, certainly it's going to be cooler because of just the volume of it. But then you do have the problems with E. coli. Think about how many times they've closed beaches because the bacteria level has gotten so high.
Exactly.
Bacteria love moisture and heat. What do we have right now? Moisture and heat. So I would say if you don't have access to a pool, being in Lake Michigan is a great way to cool down. Go in, cool down, and get out. Yep.
All right. What about protection from the sun? Highest SPFs possible in sunscreens?
No, you know, people talk about SPFs of 100 and that. It's really not necessary. What's much more important, take an SPF over 40 and make sure you reapply it, especially days like today. You know, we normally would tell people to reapply their sunblock every 2 hours. On days like today, have a little tube with you and throw it on, you know, every half hour, every 45 minutes, because you're sweating that off. Even the waterproof stuff sweats off. So please do that. And the other thing is, right now, they have a lot of really nice clothes that are SPF 50, and they're very light. So think about that, because it does two things. It protects your skin, and often they're almost always made white. They actually cool your body as well.
Yeah, they're very extremely lightweight and actually feel pretty good. It's always great to hear your voice. I'm always happy when you can be with us. Dr. Kevin Most, hopefully we'll talk soon, my friend. Thank you. Thanks to Tim Joyce had a minute to give us the weather forecast, being in conference with you all morning. Very busy in the WGN weather situation room.
Absolutely.
Conferencing with Shawnee.
We were in conference and in a very serious discussion on where the hottest places were going to be in the country today.
I like watermelon. Do you like watermelon?
I do like watermelon.
I love watermelon.
It's great. And the sweeter, the better. I look for that deep red color, you know, if you find it cut up in the store.
Do you know how to pick a watermelon that's not cut up? Can I help you with this?
Yes, please do. You pound on it to see if it's...
You go Gallagher on it. Just mash it with a mallet, right?
Wow. Everybody in such a mean mood today.
I was only kidding.
The text line has gone berserk today. You don't pound on the melon, Shawnee. You thump it.
Well, okay. Explain how you thump.
You take your knuckle.
Yeah.
And...
Well, that's kind of what I meant.
Well, no, you made it sound like you were
going to take a sledgehammer to it.
William the Fridge Perry jumping on a watermelon. You knock on it, and if it sounds hollow, that's what you want. You want it to sound hollow. Take your thumbs. Those are those short things on your hands. You push the ends of the watermelon. It should be nice and firm.
Okay.
And you want to, you know, look for it. You want it to be, nice and green.
Yep. Yep, sure.
But feel the ends to make sure they're not mushy and like that.
Okay. You know what else I enjoy? Mm. Well, there's just about every kind of fresh fruit and vegetable.
I bought some nice cantaloupe.
You just took the words out of my mouth.
Oh, I love ice cold cantaloupe.
Cold cantaloupe. And
you can find a nice honeydew. It's hard to find honeydew.
Yeah. But the farmers markets will have them, as we get further into the summer, that's when they really ripen and mature. And that's when I wait for corn on the cob also. Till the end of July, 1st of August, when it's, you know, really, really mature and rich.
I made some delicious corn on the cob this week.
Did you?
There's nothing better. There's no greater summertime treat.
It's so good.
Could only be better if I served it, if I had a dish full of corn, watermelon, and some frozen grapes.
What time should I be over?
No. I'll be there.
Shawnee, give me your head.
Thump, thump, thump. Let's see if he's ripe.
Yep, Shawnee, he's as ripe as usual, it turns out. Dean Richard. God punished me.
Hello.
God punished me for making a joke about you.
It's about time.
Let's do it again. Take two. Hey, Shawnee, give me your head.
Let's find out if he's ripe.
Let's see if he's ripe. Well, he's ripe as usual.
Dean Richards, WGN.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
One of those Sundays. Super hot. Somebody on our text line was just complaining that we're giving advice to people on what to do in hot weather. But why do we need to do that?
Why not?
Why are you giving it? People know it's hot outside. Why do you need to do that? Nice. Nice compassion. I want to know, here's my hot weather question. Shawnee, where do you find Daisy Dukes in that size?
Well, first of all, they're not Daisy Dukes.
Very attractive on you, by the way.
You haven't even seen me today.
I have not seen the lower half of your body today, no.
You haven't even seen me today.
Hey, you want to know the crazy thing? You guys are both, you know, summer wear. I'm wearing all black today for some reason.
Oh, that works well in hot weather.
That wasn't a conscious decision. It was like, you know.
Just happened.
And then I went outside and it was like, not a good choice.
Nope.
But nope. Too late now.
Yeah, especially when now we're looking at 86 at O'Hare.
Yeah.
And heat indices, 93 at the lake. In the mid-90s in northern Indiana.
Right.
And it's not even
noon. It's going to be hot when I go to get my fireworks today.
Be even hotter.
When I go to Crazy Kaplan's.
Be even hotter.
I went to the south suburbs last night. Went to my cousin's house. She had a lovely barbecue. And there is nothing but fireworks billboards on the tollway.
Oh, I've seen those,
That's
yes.
all there is
yeah.
for different places.
Yep. Well, 4th of July is not far away.
You betcha.
You betcha. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You betcha. All right. Well, don't take any extra precautions today because.
Oh, that's nice to tell.
Well, I want to, you know, I want that from the listener who thinks, you know, that we're stupid for telling people to be careful in this weather. I don't know why you got to tell people to be careful in this weather.
You know, I was talking to Andy here about a half hour ago about a road trip that my dad and I did to the Carolinas about, this is about 13, 14 years ago now. And we drove our car, so we took our golf clubs. We played golf in the morning in Myrtle Beach, and I was fine. And later in the morning, about 10:30, 11 o'clock, started to feel weak.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of heat and humidity there at the time, and by the afternoon I was just totally zonked,
dehydrated,
absolutely. And it went on for a couple of days. So,
well, don't tell that moron who texted us.
So, bottom line is, when they tell you to stay hydrated, that means water, that means Gatorade, that means good stuff.
I don't know why you got to tell people that. It's hot outside. Everybody is in a really foul mood.
It's the heat. It's the heat. Blame the heat.
It's many things today. You know who we need to talk to right now? I know you were in conference earlier with Tim Joyce.
Yes, I was.
But so I guess technically we are in conference now with meteorologist Bill Snyder, our pal who is on the phone line right now. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Dean, how are you? It's great to talk to you, my friend.
Likewise. Always nice to talk with you.
I feel like whenever we're talking, it means there's something peculiar going on with the weather. And boy, I'll tell you, we certainly do have something going, don't we?
It's
wow.
a little unusual today.
Good old-fashioned heat wave. Yeah.
So what's the latest? What can we expect? Who's going to be most
affected
today?
This is already a record-breaking heat wave. We had a low temperature yesterday morning of 78 degrees. That eclipsed the old record highest low temperature for the date of 74 in 1923. And listen to this. This morning, Dean, Our low temperature at O'Hare was 80.
Ooh, wow.
80 degrees for
wow.
the low. That wow. was at 5 and 6 o'clock this morning.
Wow.
That eclipsed the old record of 76 in 1923. What's more, Dean, is that is our warmest June low temperature here in 7 years.
Wow.
So, you know, it's, again, and I mean, we know, you know, like you were, I was hearing you talk about that listener, you know, being sarcastic about the heat, and we know it's hot.
He wasn't being sarcastic. He was mad that we were telling people to be careful. Yeah.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what. You know what? Tell him that, I mean, we found out, unfortunately, the hard way, Dean, almost 30 years ago, next month, is a 30-year tragic anniversary in this city, the largest natural disaster we've ever had in this city, when more than 700 people died because of heat. And we didn't know, we didn't realize until after its full effects, just how significant heat was and is on all of us. And it changed the entire way of how heat is handled, not only in this city, but across the country, because we've learned that it's not just an inconvenience, but it's a silent killer.
Yeah.
And if you look at all of our natural disasters, whether it's hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, blizzards, being heat, by far, in second place isn't close, by far, heat is the biggest killer of all of our weather-related natural disasters.
Right.
And it happens year in and year out. I mean, it's, and you know, we, like I said, we saw that with our low temperature this morning. We're getting what's called the urban heat island effect, Dean, and that is that urban settings are often several degrees warmer because of concrete and asphalt radiating the heat that's absorbed during the day. So this keeps your nighttime temperatures very warm, which is what we saw both yesterday morning and this morning, near 80 degrees. In such warmth like that, it limits the ability to recover and prepare for the next day of heat. So, you know, we had it yesterday, we had it today, we're going to have it again tomorrow. Sometimes we get into these summer patterns where we get close enough to the jet stream and you get these thunderstorm clusters to erupt from time to time. And that, you know, thunderstorms are nature's natural air conditioner. They mix down cooler air. Well, we are not in that situation right now. And that's going to be a couple of days before we get, you know, where we're able to get some thunderstorms in play here. So the fact is we are at the core of the hot air dome right now. We're talking about a high temperature today that will challenge the record. The record high for today is 97 degrees set in 1988. Tomorrow, the record high is 97 as well in 1930. We have a good chance of possibly either tying or breaking those records the next couple of days. And, you know, the fact is that it's not just the heat, Dee. We talk about it all the time. It's the humidity. And when the heat index is high due to high humidity, it isn't as effective as cooling the body. It makes it feel hotter, and then that increases the danger. And you know, it's what the body feels, the apparent temperature on the body. We talk about the wind chill in the wintertime. Well, the heat index is the same thing, and it's a combination of not just high heat, but also extremely high humidity. And we've got winds pumping in right out of the Gulf of Mexico. So it's pushing that really warm, humid, sultry air right here into Chicago.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, are certain areas of the Chicago metropolitan area going to be more affected by this than others?
No, this is a uniformly heat wave, Dean. It's not, you know, sometimes we'll get, you know, you might have a lake breeze that interrupts the heat wave and you get some cooling and natural air conditioning near the lake. But this is affecting all of us. And that's why the entire metro area is either under, well, so Cook County is under the extreme heat warning, and that's in effect until midnight tomorrow night. But the rest of the area is under a heat advisory, and really, it's just a matter of terminology because of the vulnerable population in the city itself. You know, without proper means of cooling, without air conditioning, without giving your body a chance to cool, that is why they due to the city of Chicago population, they address that as an extreme heat warning where the rest of us are in a heat advisory. So, you know, we had heat index values yesterday, Dean, in the afternoon, 108 in Aurora, 107 in Joliet, 107 in Morris, 106 in Wheeling. So again, yeah, this is not just affecting one part of our area. It's affecting all of us equally. So it's hot and it's steamy everywhere. And, you know, we're going to have dealing with this for a couple more days until we might be able to bring some thunderstorms into the picture, and we'll see temperatures drop a little bit. But we're not going to get rid of this heat altogether. It just won't be quite as extreme as we move forward towards Tuesday, Wednesday, in the middle of next week. So we're still talking at that time, Dean, high temperatures in the, you know, upper 80s, low 90s, and it's going to be humid. And the only reason why we won't be hotter is because we will, you know, bring in the chance for some scattered thunderstorms, which again will, you know, tend to mix down some cooler air.
So is this a sign that we're going to have a, you know, super hot summer? Or
Not necessarily. I've seen years where we've get these, you know, these individual heat waves, and then, you know, you keep looking for the pattern to reestablish itself, and it doesn't. But I look through the records, and, you know, we'll certainly see our fair share of hot days. We average about 17 90-degree days at O'Hare, 21 at Midway, and, you know, we're off to a good start. Today will be our fifth of the month of June, and that's actually about normal for June. So we'll be a little bit ahead of pace, but I don't think it's necessarily a guarantee that, oh, you know, for anybody that doesn't like the hot weather, that this is a precursor to, you know, blistering heat that's going to last all summer. We've had some notable hot summers around here, Dean, as you know, talking about 1995, unfortunately, the deadly heat wave. We've had hot weather in 1988, 2012. As a matter of fact, Dean, this is what's also extraordinary when I was looking through the records. You know, we had the high of 95 yesterday. We'll be 97, 98 today and tomorrow. Do you know that the last time we had three consecutive days with heat of this intensity in the month of June was 37 years ago, back in 1988?
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, people can say, oh, you know, you hype the heat, whatever, but this is, you know, we get hot weather in Chicago, and I'm not, you know, denying that. It happens every year, just like it gets cold in winter. But when you're talking about multiple days in a row like this, where you're talking about nighttime temperatures not dropping below 80 degrees, that's when it becomes dangerous. Yeah, well, and that is what we learned all too well in 1995.
And it's, you know, it's extraordinary. I mean, these aren't just hot days. It's like, oh, it's hot. No. It's summertime. These are extraordinarily hot days and consecutive ones.
And that's where we get in trouble, Dean. When we, you know, as I said, when we get, we found that three consecutive days with heat of this intensity, and especially when you don't, you know, you can't cool the body down at night when the temperatures don't drop below 80. And for folks that don't have air conditioning, I mean, can you imagine what with the buildings in this city, Dean? No. It takes days. Even when we do cool off eventually, it takes days for these buildings to cool down. And again, that's why we had so many issues in 1995. And again, the city is on top of this with the cooling centers and cooling buses. And, you know, hopefully people are taking those precautions, because we learned all too well, unfortunately, the hard way, just how, you know, how serious heat can be.
Yeah, and all you have to do is drive around and look up at buildings and see these box fans in people's windows to see how many people do not have air conditioning. I mean, a lot of people take for granted that, you know, you have a window unit or central air or something like that. A lot of people don't have this. And, you know,
it is
dangerously hot in some of those apartments.
And for sure.
Often they are senior citizens in those apartments.
I know.
Who are the most vulnerable to this kind of
weather. They are. Right. And that's why we stress, you know, checking in on, you know, friends and neighbors, elderly, that you know, because you're right, they are absolutely 100% the most vulnerable individuals in hot weather like this, for sure.
Yeah. You know what I like to do when on a hot day is get out on a boat, like I've done with Bill Snyder.
Oh, with Terry. Our good friend Terry. Yeah.
Terry Bates has a fantastic boat, and he's very generous. And
yes, he is.
I will never forget being on that boat. This is a few years ago now. We had a torrential downpour.
Oh, we did. We got caught right in the heart of it, Dean.
I thought, if ever I want to get stuck in the middle of a torrential downpour, it's with my meteorologist friend, Bill Snyder.
That's for sure, yes. Hey, Terry did a great job of navigating through that.
He
did. Luckily, it didn't last too long. But, yeah, we we got a little extra soaking courtesy of Mother Nature. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we cooled off that day, but that's for sure.
We did. Wow.
All right.
And I think the beach and lakefront is, I've seen pictures from yesterday, and my goodness, Dean, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people have been, you know, down at the beach and trying to stay cool and getting in the lake. Right. So we really didn't have a lot of, you know, hot weather leading up to this. So, you know, the lakefront has been, you know, frustratingly cool, you know, slow to warm. So I think folks in that regard are happy to be able to get into the lake.
Nice,
and,
cool
and that's
water.
Certainly another way of, a way of beating the heat and staying cool, and people are doing that. So,
right. Well,
yeah, a little common sense for sure.
We're going to keep an eye on the WGN weather pages.
Yep.
That's where you keep all the info handy. It's always great to hear your voice, my friend. It's been too long since I've actually seen you in the building because we're at opposite ends of the day. But I am always comforted to know that you are there providing all the weather info. Meteorologist Bill Snyder, thanks, pal.
Hey, Dean, always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. You take care, and everybody stay cool and stay safe out there.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
While walking after midnight out in the moonlight, just like we used to do, I'm always walking after midnight searching for you.
Well, if you've listened to this show over the past couple of weeks, you know what a big fan I am of the great Patsy Cline.
Along the highway.
Her songs are amazing. Soul and dimension and depth that she puts into her music was truly amazing. And now there is a show that's just opened at the Drury Lane in Oak Brook Terrace that celebrates the music and the life of the great Patsy Cline. It's called Always Patsy Cline. It's running till August 3rd. And we are so lucky to have two of the stars of the show in studio with us this morning, playing Patsy Cline herself, Asia Alcazar. Welcome. Nice to have you here with us.
Hi, great to be here.
And also Bree Sudia, who plays her friend, fan, right? Louise?
That's right. Yes, Louise Seeger.
Yeah, nice to have you both here with us
today.
Thank you. On a two-show day on top of it, right?
Yes, we're starting off strong.
These are performers. These are performers coming to a radio show before a two-show day.
Yeah.
How much fun is it for you, Asia, to take on this bigger-than-life character?
It is honestly an honor. I was born and raised in Texas, and I grew up on Patsy Cline music. So to get to sing her music and continue that legacy is such a fun honor. My dad has a recording of me singing Crazy at like 18 on his
really?
On a CD somewhere that my family was like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now explain the Louise connection, because that's really how the story is told, I think, right?
Yeah. The show is really a perfect blend of being Patsy Cline concert and also some really great storytelling about Louise Seeger, who was a fan of Patsy, and they had a chance encounter and actually spent a day together and really found each other on that day at a moment when these two women really needed to be seen and needed friendship, and they ended up corresponding for quite a while in letters and telephone calls and developed a really lovely relationship and friendship. And the show kind of looks at Patsy through Louise's memory and lens of that very special 24 hours that they got to spend together.
Yeah, she really was an extraordinary woman, wasn't she?
She was.
I mean, considering the time of her popularity, which would have been, I guess, the 1950s or early 60s, and what she must have had to put up with. in order to somehow break through in all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, she dropped out of school in eighth grade because her mom was a single mother. So she dropped out of school to help, to work and support her mom and support her siblings. And she would sing at clubs at night and eventually made her way over the course of many years into being on the Opry, the Grand Ole Opry, and to become the star that she was. But it did. It took a lot of time, and you know, managers and studios were not as good to women back in the day. So she had to endure a lot, and she had two marriages. So she was, she became who she was despite a lot of adversity that she had to face growing up and as a young adult.
Yeah, I just remember the you know, very, very difficult story of her personal life, of trying to balance a career and these two pretty difficult marriages. And then her timely, untimely death at a very young age was, you know, maybe makes the legacy even greater.
Yeah.
Because we never got to, you know, experience what a more mature Patsy Cline might have been. Don't you think that's part of the legacy? And I think kind of the interest in the show is that we get to learn even more about this great performer.
Absolutely. I think everybody has that, you know, famous person that they say to themselves, like, if only I could meet them, they would be my best friend. And I think that the show is just such a great view into fly on the wall experience of like what that could be like for anyone to meet their idol in a way, and to see that they're just a person who needs connection and needs love as much as you. Louise was divorced with two kids, and so they really connected on a personal level of just wanting to be seen and feel that connection. And I think Louise, like so many of us, felt that outpouring of emotion in Patsy's music and connected to that also.
Yeah, I think it was a very relatable music, a woman struggling, a woman, you know, trying to get by and, you know, going through the heartaches of life, really, right? We're very lucky that we're going to hear some live music this morning as well. So before I take a break, why don't we start off with one of Patsy's greatest hits, Back in Baby's Arms. Kind of set it up for us of like how this falls in context of the show and, you know, where it falls, sort of.
Back in Baby's Arms, the show starts with Patsy on the Grand Ole Opry stage, and Back in Baby's Arms is part of the beginning of the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's hear it then. Asia Alcazar as Patsy Cline from Always Patsy Cline at the Drury Lane Theater, Oakbrook Terrace. Take it away.
I'm back in baby's arms. How I miss those loving arms. I'm back where I belong, back in baby's arms. Don't know why we quarreled, we never did before. Since we found out how it hurts, I bet we never quarrel anymore. I'm back in baby's arms. How I miss those loving arms. I'm back where I belong, back in baby's arms. Arms, I'm gonna stay. I'm back in baby's arms. How I miss those loving arms. I'm back where I belong, back in baby's arms. Back in baby's arms. Back in baby's arms.
Oh, man, that is so great.
Thank Thank you.
That is so great. I defy anybody not to be toe-tapping during that.
It's such a good song.
Yeah, it sure is. As is her signature song, Crazy.
Yes.
Which we'll hear in just a minute as we continue. Bree Sudia, who is Louise, and Asia, who is Patsy Cline. Always Patsy Cline at the Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook Terrace through August 3rd. I'll tell you how to get tickets when we come right back.
Your town, your sound, your very own WGN.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
The world is a stage. The stage is a world of entertainment.
It is 10:50. Dean Richards Sunday morning, our weekend theater segment. And wow, you sounded amazing during that song. check this out, phone lines. Love Back in Baby's Arms sounded beautiful. Hello, Dean. Saw Always Patsy Cline this past Wednesday evening. Wonderful show, great music. Fabulous performances from Joan in Westchester.
Oh, thanks, Joan.
So I don't know which of you two texted that in during the break. I don't know which one of you two is Joan from Westchester.
We'll never tell.
Yeah, no, you should. No. It's
the audiences have been amazing.
Yes, so wonderful.
I'll
so
bet. Great.
Yeah.
We just look out and we see a sea of people just toe tapping and smiling and giving us such great feedback, and the laughter has been great because the show is very funny and joyful, and so it's been cool to see people having just a really great time at the theater. Yeah.
I had forgotten about this, but 847 area code texts in Back in Baby's Arms from the famous scene in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles comes to mind, that where they play that song during one of the scenes in the movie. I'd completely forgotten that was the case. What's it like for you guys to... Let me just reintroduce Asia Alcazar, Patsy Cline, in Always Patsy Cline at the Drury Lane in Oak Brook Terrace, and Bree Sudia, who plays fan, friend, Louise in the show. What's it like for you to be performing at the Drury Lane? You've both done it in the past.
Yeah.
Asia, what's it like for you?
It's great. I think the audience base there is so loving and so welcoming, and they love Patsy Cline and this music. And the audiences have been so wonderful, and it's so cool to sing Patsy's music and hear the audience sing along with you. You get to feel a sense of like what it feels like to be a pop star or a country star and have people love your music so much that they sing with you and ahead of you sometimes. Yeah. And
you may be feeling differently when I come to see the show and I'm singing along with you.
I'll bring you up. You can come
on
up.
Somebody shut that guy up.
The set and what they've done with the space is so beautiful, and I feel like it's a cozier, more intimate setting. And it makes it super fun for Bree and I to do this play for people.
Yeah, Brie, you've also performed at...
I think one of my favorite things is that no matter what seat you have at the Drury Lane, you can... For me, on stage, I can see everybody. I can see every face. And so much of the show for me is direct address, where I'm talking directly to the audience and asking them to remember and participate and look back at Patsy with me. And it's great to be able to like see people and see people nodding and wanting me to know that they remember too. And no matter where you are in the house, like I feel connected to them, and I want them to feel connected to us. And also, Asia and I didn't know each other before we started the show, and so much of this show is about Louise and Patsy's connection, and it's also now about Asia and I's connection. We're just having a blast together, so we hope people feel that, too.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to the show. Number one, I'm such a Patsy Cline fan, but now having met both of you and, you know, kind of feel the energy that you have together, it's got to translate on stage as well, I would think. Can't wait.
That's our hope. We hope you have a great time.
Yeah. And in a few minutes, I'm going to also tell our listeners how they can win some tickets to see the show as well.
Fun.
Join me in one night, but win tickets separately also.
Amazing.
So we'll get to all of that in just a minute. It would not be a discussion about Patsy Cline if we didn't perform. If
oh, I heard you're singing along. So.
Yes, crazy.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
If Asia did not perform the signature song of all time, written by the great Willie Nelson, Patsy's song "Crazy," Asia, take it away.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. I'm as long as you wanted, and then someday you'd leave me for somebody new. Worry, why do I let myself worry?
Pure perfection. Wow.
Thank you.
So nice. Thank you, Asia.
Of course.
Asia Alcazar, Patsy Cline. The show is called Always Patsy Cline, out at the Drury Lane in Oakbrook Terrace through August 3rd. You can get tickets by going to drurylanetheater.com, theater spelled with an R-E, or 630-530-0111. There are two shows today if you want to get out of the heat. Come to a nice air-conditioned theater and enjoy some great music.
That's right.
Come on down.
Yeah. See y'all there.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Really nice. Asia Alcazar, Bree Sudia as Louise in the show. And as I say, I'll tell you how you can win some tickets to this coming up right after the news. So when you hear me ring a bell on the show today, that is the sign to pour another tray of ice cubes down your pants. It's our helpful reminder. I've got like the equivalent of 4 or 5 bags of frozen peas down there right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Andy, how was it at Ravinia the other night?
Actually, was
it pleasant?
Yeah, it was actually kind of comfortable. It was nice.
Who'd you go see?
We saw James Taylor on Thursday night.
Oh, sweet baby James.
Sweet baby James. Yes, he sounds awesome. He still sounds really, really good.
He's so great.
He's engaging with the audience, and it's so deadpan. I was telling you in the hallway earlier today, Dean, that he keeps telling this joke about how he's getting older, and his doctor continues to tell him that he's going to have trouble moving his stool. Well, he sits on a stool during the show, and he moved his stool, and he said, see, I guess it hasn't happened yet.
James Taylor with the stool jokes.
Exactly right. It's hilarious.
I love that. That's almost as immature as me saying put a tray of ice cubes down your pants.
Exactly. I figured it was keeping with the spirit of the show to bring that up.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen him perform several times. He's always been amazing.
Yeah, he's really good.
And Ravinia, even on a crowd, it was packed, crowded.
Yeah, there was not a speck of grass on the lawn to be seen that was not occupied by a human being. Or
they manage it so well, though.
Yeah, you know, we took the train from the north side, and when you get there, it's really organized. The way that you get off the train and go down this little ramp, and you go through a little winding security, and then right to the gate, the front door.
Go right in,
and you show your ticket. It's on your phone. The best option for anybody that doesn't live in that area is Metra. I mean, it's a free ride if you have a ticket for Ravinia, and. Yeah, it's really organized. They have security walking around quite a bit, but you know, it's a fun night. It's just an enjoyable evening, especially if you're going with friends or loved ones. And
I don't know how they keep the bugs out too.
You know, the bugs were attacking me early in the day.
Oh, they were early in the day.
There were little. They weren't mosquitoes. They were little gnats, I think, and they were just all over me and our group. But my wife, of course, she brings the. Organic bug spray, and that got rid of everything.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Okay. Very good. Very nice. So we were all going to go this coming Friday to the Patsy Cline show. Didn't they sound amazing? Just
they were awesome.
By the way, wow. We were all going to go, and my schedule changed. I screwed up the whole thing. It's my fault. We were all supposed to go, and now we've changed the date for the listener event. For people to win tickets to come and join us now to one day before that. So Thursday night, if you can make it Thursday night, go to WGNradio.com/contest and they'll pick the winners. We're going to still have a pre-show reception, still the whole thing. We're still going to see the show, but it's going to be Thursday, this coming Thursday, instead of Friday. And I'm sorry that you guys aren't going to be able to make it that
night. Yeah, I was looking forward to it.
Yeah. Schwani made up some flimsy excuse.
I didn't make up any flimsy excuse.
And incidentally, I was about
to point out that just a moment ago that you said that it was your fault that the schedule
My fault.
This is a first because you didn't blame me.
No, not at all.
You. Well, that was real convincing.
No, that wasn't your fault. You guys were both going to come.
Yep.
And we were going to have a nice evening. And I have to go to California now to interview the cast of this new Superman movie, which I got to say I am looking forward to. But, you know, I have to go do that. So I'm going to miss. I couldn't make the event on a Friday night, so. So, yeah, my fault.
When's the Superman movie coming out?
July something, 11th, 11th, 15th, something like that. Whatever that Friday is. It's like the second week of July.
Who's playing Superman?
A guy, unknown actor, so unknown that I don't remember his name right now.
When you said Superman, you kind of got my interest there. Are you going to talk about how we grew up watching Superman?
Of course I am.
Excellent.
I may even,
have to bring that up.
May even tell him how I jumped off the garage with a towel around my neck. 1,000% convinced that I would be able to fly.
Boy, you talk about people rolling their eyes. They're going to be doing it for that one.
The actor who plays Superman this time is named David Corenswet.
I do not know that name.
David Corenswet. Well, unknown actor. Rachel Brosnahan is Lois Lane. Nicholas Holt is Lex Luthor. Yeah, so looking forward to it. But
Who plays Perry White?
Great Caesar's ghost. Let's see if they have a Perry White in this. There's a Supergirl in it. Bradley Cooper plays Jor-El.
No, Bradley Cooper's in it.
Superman's father. Do I see Perry White? I don't see a Perry White in here. Oh, wait, here. Perry White, actor Wendell Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what else they have in this movie that they haven't had in previous Superman movies? Crypto, the dog.
Okay.
Super Dog is going to be.
Super Dog, yeah.
Yeah, so looking forward to that.
Is there a Jimmy Olsen and Lois Lane also?
Yeah, Rachel Brosnahan is Lois
Lane. Lois Lane, okay.
And Jimmy Olsen is played by an actor named Skylar Gisondo.
Golly.
Okay. For all you Skylar Gisondo fans out there.
Golly.
Golly, Mr. Kent. So anyway, that's what I'm going to be doing. Anywho, if you want to join us, now we scheduled this thing and then we had to change it. So if you're able to join us Thursday evening now at the Drury Lane, you can enter to win the contest pair of tickets. Plus, we have a pre-show reception minus Andy and Schwani.
Sorry.
You'll thank me later for that. WGNradio.com/contests.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. See what I did there, playing a song about the heat when it's hot outside. I could lose my DJ license if I don't. If today on the show I don't play this, Hot Fun in the Summertime. What else?
Yes, so, Hot Fun in the Summertime in tribute to the late Sly Stone.
Sly. What are some other good hot songs?
A little Hot, Hot, Hot from Buster Poindexter.
Oh, yeah.
How about Summer in the City, the
Feeling
Lovin' Spoonful?
Hot, hot, hot.
Exactly.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Yeah, we got to play all those. Otherwise, they shut this place down.
A little Nelly, Hot in Here.
It's getting hot in here.
Exactly.
Are we allowed to say take off all your clothes?
I have no idea. Don't know until you try, right?
We don't want to give anyone any ideas. you know our listeners. What?
I didn't say a word.
I heard you take a deep breath.
No, I was. Did you hear me mention another addition to the songs?
The hot songs?
Yeah, hot Summer in the City, the Lovin' Spoonful.
Hot times.
Summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Cool down, looking for a kitty. Gonna look in every corner of the city.
Now we don't have to play it.
No, you don't.
We've schwannyized it. You know, the singers from the musical Always Patsy Cline?
That was a great...
Wasn't that a nice segment?
Segment you had there, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'll thank the singers.
Well, you can thank me.
Okay. Thank you, too.
Yeah. They bring the instrumental tracks, you know, so they can sing along with them,
mm-hmm.
which we have.
Mm-hmm.
So we could, you and I could sing crazy right now. Eli, you got that crazy track?
Oh.
Got that handy? It's been a while since we've had any karaoke on the show. Here we go. Here we go. You want to take the first verse?
Crazy. Crazy for being so lonely. That's all I know of that line.
I'm crazy. For feeling so blue. Come on, Andy, jump it.
No thanks. Loco.
Love me and something. And
then someday you'd leave me for somebody new.
Boo hoo.
What are you, the Pips all of a sudden doing the background vocals?
He's leaving.
All of a sudden he's... Where are we? I've lost my place. Wondering. What in the world did I do?
Oh, what did I do?
What did I do? Crazy. Thinking that my love could hold you. Boy, I sound terrible, don't I? I sound awful. I think people now who bought tickets to the show, they're calling the box office. They're canceling their tickets. People who wanted to win tickets to join me,
they're not
going to
win them now.
Now they want to.
They're calling the box office.
We'll go.
Don't bring those guys.
Any other night, we'll go. We don't want to be there the night that he's there and might start singing. I love that we've got the instrumental, though.
This can be dangerous.
Crazy for something. And I'm crazy for loving you. Where's
loving you?
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
I think we've done enough damage to that
yes,
show.
Yes, we have.
What other show?
We have violated every copyright law.
I don't think we have.
No. No.
I think we just made a hot day even more unbearable for some people.
Very much so.
That's what I think. Quick break, and WGN political analyst Paul Liznick, if he still wants to be on this show, is coming up now. It is 11:25. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. The news event of the day that Schwani has been reporting on, that everyone has been reporting on, the U.S. attack on Iran's nuclear plants, what could happen next as a result of it all, is all the conversation this morning. Joining us to talk about it, WGN-TV political analyst Paul Liznick. Paul, what was your reaction when you heard the news last night?
Good Sunday morning, Dean. Well, a little surprise. I was at my daughter's wedding, so that threw me a little bit to start getting those texts about what was going on, and certainly became a topic of conversation there. Look, President Trump had said he was going to make a decision on what to do within 2 weeks. He did that. He did it in just a couple of days. Part of that was, I think, keeping the operation somewhat secret. So that he did something as quickly as he did, I think, took people by surprise. But I also think it took Iran by surprise, and that was his mission and goal.
What about the shift from diplomacy directly into action? Was that a surprise? I mean, some people this morning are saying that they felt like there should have been a little more time to give Iran a chance to respond before bombings actually took place.
Well, part of it, Dean, is we don't know what we don't know, which is to say that, yes, President Trump did say we were in discussions, in negotiations, and then all of a sudden this action is taken. Did negotiations break down? Were there no steps? We don't know. You're going to hear, and already today as the politics begins to enter into all of this, Republicans seem pretty united behind all of this. Democrats are stepping in and saying he should have come to Congress for a declaration of war. Just the brief political slash legal aspect to that, or answer to that, is that, you know, he didn't declare war. He took a military action. He probably wins the argument over whether he had the authority to do what he did. Coming to Congress, if Iran retaliates and we start to do more, then the need to go to Congress, I think, becomes stronger. Probably the best arguments the Democrats have right now, I've heard, you know, AOC say we need to impeach. That's going nowhere. There aren't enough votes to do any of that. But really, the question is, what should he have done ahead of time? And here's what we know. There's that group, as you know, called the Gang of Eight. It's the leaders in the Senate and the House of both parties. And he, apparently, Trump, talked to the Republicans, but didn't talk to the Democrats. So I think if he's made an error here, here, if he wants to have sort of a united front of all parties and all people in the country, probably involving the head Democrats in a discussion he was having with Republicans would have been the smarter thing to do. But we'll see how this plays out. Look, it was a successful exercise. It happened successfully. And so he gets more points on the fact that there were no American deaths and all of that. And there's still days of assessment to happen to figure out just how successful these bombings were.
Given what you know about this whole story and our ongoing conflicts with Iran, what do you think happens next? I mean, does Iran, comply and say, you know, you've threatened us with more action if we don't shut everything down? Is there a retaliation? Are we now in jeopardy of terrorist attacks in the U.S. as a result of this happening last night?
And so, again, I'm going to speak as your political guy, not a military guy, but the bottom line is, I think, look, Iran has said they're going to retaliate, so you've got to take them at their word. A lot of people are saying, oh, Iraq tried that. Iran is not Iraq. You know, Iran does have certain kind of capabilities. I don't think this is about any attacks on the homeland, our homeland, so to speak, but there are Americans and bases within that region. So if something were to happen involving Americans, then it will be, I think, within the region in which they live. But let's remember, Israel is not giving up on their bombing and their attacks. I don't think you're going to see American boots on the ground, certainly not now, but you may see Israelis take some action. So you have to keep your eye on a couple of the balls in this court, which is there are several things going on. If Iran takes the step, here's one thing. I think most people would agree that this president is not one who's going to say, let's sit at the table and talk. If Iran does do something, this is a president who showed he will take force. He will make a move. Whether you support that or not is another issue. But that's what I would anticipate Trump would do if there is an effort at retaliation. Iran will probably think twice before they do it.
Put your political hat back on. What does this mean to, the president's policies, getting things done here? Does it make him more popular? Does it hurt his approval ratings right now? What do you think the effect is going to be on him politically?
But Dan, I think because it was a successful effort, I think he politically will win as time goes on here, depending on what happens. Again, if there is retaliation, that whole ball game changes. But again, you'll hear Democrats who are saying he should have come to us again. I think it's arguable, but probably not a winning argument that they should have. But let's remember, Congress has the power to do two things: declare war — this was not a declaration of war — and number two, cut off funding. So what they could do if he decides to do more would be for Congress to step in and cut the funding off. That would keep him from taking steps. That's what Congress can do. However, as you've heard me say on our air and also on my show, Congress, the legislature here, has essentially been neutered. They question Republicans who own both houses, don't question anything the president does, and so the president, well aware of that, basically isn't concerned about the inconvenience of having to sort of check with Congress and talk to them. This is a president that's going to do what he wants to do, surrounded by people who will support what he wants to do, with a Congress who will sit back and say, well, we're behind you no matter what. And that's where we are.
I'm sure we'll be hearing more from Paul Lisnick on WGN-TV, on his own show on Sunday mornings. And congratulations on your daughter's wedding also.
Well, thank you, Dean. I hope you'll send a check and pay for it.
The check is on the way.
Okay. Thank you, Dean.
Paul Lisnick, thank you.
Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see? When you're hugging with your baby, last row in the balcony.
11:38. Dean Richard, Sunday morning, and time for my Dean's List A-List interviews. Our exclusive interviews with the biggest stars in the world. And this week we focus in on the latest Disney Pixar movie that actually thought it would be the number one movie of the week. But it turns out it's getting eclipsed by a couple of others. The latest box office numbers. I have How to Train Your Dragon as the number one movie of the weekend. A really exciting, great movie, by the way. I gave it a Dean's List A. I was surprised how much I like it. It's the live-action adaptation of the three How to Train Your Dragon movies. really exciting, sometimes maybe a little too exciting for little kids, but it is a pretty good film. And at the moment, at least anyway, probably will stay this way for the weekend, is the number one movie taking in, let me see, an additional $37 million. The horror film, 28 Years Later, is in the number two spot at the moment with a $30 million take. This is the sequel, I guess you might say, to the Danny Boyle directed 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later. As I've said many times, horror movies are not particularly my cup of tea because more often than not, they're just simply blood and guts and there's not really very much more to them than that. But these 28 movies, the franchise 28, has gone beyond that. Danny Boyle is an incredibly talented director and he put so much more into this. And this is set 28 years after the original film came out, the events of the original film came out. And I also give this a Dean's List A, which I can't even remember the last time I gave a horror movie that high of a rating. But I also enjoyed that one, as I did the latest Disney Pixar movie, Elio. It is a little more in line with the old-fashioned Pixar movies. I'm not going to say that it's on a level of Toy Story or some of their classics, but it leans a little bit more in that direction than some of the other Pixar movies that have come out the past few years that began to flatten out a little bit. I think this one is pretty solid. It's a lovely story. It's a very whimsical story that the kids are going to like, about this little loner kid who is obsessed with space. He soups up his transistor radio and accidentally sends some signals into outer space, which are picked up by an alien planet. The alien planet interprets that to mean that he is, this little boy, is the leader of all humans on the planet Earth. And they bring him up to their planet where he befriends an equally nerdy kid on this other planet. But it's a story about friendship and loyalty and some really nice qualities that I don't think is a terrible thing for kids to be learning from movies. Really beautifully animated, beautifully told, great voices involved in this, including Oscar winner Zoe Saldana, who just won an Academy Award for her role in this past year. She was coupled up with young Jonas Kibriab, who is the voice of Elio in this movie. And a week or so ago, I talked with both of them. And when they heard that I was from Chicago, they just had one question.
We were wondering, it's not cold in Chicago right now.
It is very pleasant outside, actually.
Oh, okay. I went to Chicago in the winter, and it was freezing. Oh, my gosh.
That, Jonas, is a crazy thing to do, to come here in the wintertime. I've had people tell me they felt like their skin was going to just crack off of their faces. So
oh, yeah.
This would be a good time to come if you do. Congratulations on this movie. Zoe, I just have to think with your kids. I think about like 9, 10 years old, somewhere in that range, if I've read correctly. This has to make you the coolest mom ever to be in a movie like this now for them, right?
My kids, man, that's a tough sell. My kids are spicy right now. And literally, I have one that only wants to watch reruns of Friends. So there is that rolling of the eyes like, oh, great, we're going to watch my mom and something else. But then it's not until their friends are telling them, like, your mom is an Elio? That then they kind of, like, rediscover me.
Really?
So I find it quite beautiful. The fact that they're having these, like, spunky personalities right now, especially the two 10-year-olds. But deep down, once I get them that big bowl of popcorn and we sit in front of that big screen to watch Elio, it's as if time has never gone by, you know?
Yeah, so it's
but they keep me on my toes. I never know when I'm cool and I never know when I've expired. It's quite thrilling lately.
It's the mother's dilemma, I would guess, right? Jonas, you were saying before we got started that you were in Chicago, unfortunately, in the wintertime, so it was like super, super cold, but I hope you enjoyed your visit here.
Well, I wish I could say I did.
Oh, no!
But the problem was, so we drove, I have family in Michigan on my mom's side, and we drove from Michigan to Chicago.
Okay.
And,
during the wintertime.
During the wintertime. And I think I got sick. So, like, I didn't really get to experience Chicago much.
Yes.
But I remember my mom got to go to, like, the museum. I forgot what it was. Like, Sea Museum, I think?
Yeah, the Shedd Aquarium,
yeah.
probably what it was. Well, we definitely have to get you here in nicer weather when you're not sick. And some place other than the inside of a car. Did you have a blast doing this movie, Jonas?
Yeah, I had such a blast. I mean, to be able to work with... three directors is so amazing, and all the talented people at Pixar. And although, you know, I didn't get to record with all of the co-stars in the movie, it's been so great to be able to meet you, Zoe. And I did actually record once with Remy, and that was also such a fun experience. Yeah.
That's so cool.
So, Zoe, since the last time that we've talked, I've started also doing a cooking segment here on WGN. And what I've been doing is asking some of the people that I interview if they have specialty recipes or things that are, you know, that they like to make that are popular in their families that I could try to recreate. Do you have something like that?
I do. I mean, we're such a blended family. My husband is Italian, and we are proudly Dominican Caribbean. And he's learned to make beans like I've learned to make a good red sauce. And I've mastered the Milanesa, which is his father's from Milan, and Marco grew up in Lake Garda along with his mom and his dad. And so the red sauce... It's become a thing, and I can do it now with my eyes closed. And the most essential ingredient to a red sauce that is not with meat is just the basil. Just make sure you have an abundant amount of basil at the house, because the basil really gives it a beautiful, beautiful taste. And I've been having a blast with that.
I'm going to make a beautiful red sauce in your honor. My basil in my garden, you know, now that the weather is nice in Chicago, it's coming in like crazy. And all you have to do is walk past it to get that aroma that you're talking about, smell that you're talking about.
And get those heirloom tomatoes and get your basil and that burrata and make yourself the most amazing salad. But the red sauce, I'm telling you, the trick about the red sauce is sugar. You got to put your sugar there. Just always kind of like softens the acidity of the tomato sauce.
No, I have to cook with you one of these days.
I would love that.
Yeah, we're going to do that one of these days. How fun would that be? And after I did that interview that day, I ran to the store and got some heirloom tomatoes and some fresh burrata. And I have the basil is growing like crazy, fresh basil. And I made the best caprese salad that was so delicious. And I'll tell you what she's talking about of making a nice red sauce, it's so easy with especially this time of year when everything is so abundant. You take some Vidalia onions and saute them. You put in some fresh garlic. You could even use canned tomatoes, canned whole tomatoes. Or, you know, if you want to really do it from scratch, some nice Roma tomatoes. And just let that simmer for a little while. A pinch of sugar, not a lot, just a little pinch of sugar will take some of the acidity out of the tomato. And, you know, put that on some pasta for a nice light summertime dinner and go to town. We also talked with another of the voices from the movie, who you know from the TV show Everybody Loves Raymond. Brad Garrett, for years, played Robert... on the show, brother Robbie, and we have a long history with him. We'll share that conversation in a minute.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Starting in 1996, The series Everybody Loves Raymond hit the air, and it ran for 9 seasons. A hilariously funny show. During its syndication years, WGN-TV was its home station, and we went out to interview the cast so many times and got to know everybody on that cast so well, including our next guest, Brad Garrett, who played the ever-suffering Robert Barone, Sergeant Robert Barone, Raymond's brother on the show. He has gone on to do so many TV and movie roles, and now he is one of the voices in this new Disney Pixar movie, Elio. We had a great time before we actually started recording the interview. We reminisced about our many visits to their set and all the hospitality that we had, and what a great time it was hanging out with the cast of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah, thanks for all your support all those years.
Yeah, it was great fun. Nice. You know, and I still, you know, I watched the old episodes, and I laughed my ass off still.
Thank you.
Lines. I could do the lines with you. You guys were just so great. I hope you have as good memories of all
you know,
of that.
It was a great time. It was and those writers, man, you know, as you go off into the abyss of our industry, you just realize how great writers, comedy writers, are such a rarity. But boy, we had a blast. Can't believe it's been 30 years since we premiered. It's unbelievable. Yeah,
that is. Thank you for that.
Unbelievable. That's sweet.
Was it fun doing this? I'm guessing, you know, I'm picturing you like in a sound booth by yourself, you know, in your bathrobe, yes, doing this voiceover. Am I pretty close?
Even down to the bathrobe, yes. How did you know I was in a robe? That was it was closed, right? Yes.
Well,
you know, I was really doing voiceover work almost around the same time I even started stand-up, going back to the very early 80s. So it's always been something I've loved and I've enjoyed. And, you know, you're right. You are pretty much in a booth alone. I had the pleasure of working at one of the infamous Disney sound stages. That's a great thing about working on a Pixar or Disney film. So there's that, you know, aspect of it that I always love, just being on that lot. But it is true, you are alone, and from the beginning, you know, you have these, again, on this project, great writers, great directors, and they help you form this character together out of thin air. So it's always a fun collaborative effort.
Is it a different kind of acting that you do, that you don't actually have somebody in front of you to work off of?
Totally. Yes, that's a great point. You're really, you know, you are in a bubble, you know, as far as not having that back and forth. But, you know what scenes are, that you find yourself, what scene you are in at that point of the film. And, of course, you have the directors that guide you through it. But it is a different – I love the oneness of it, because you get to try it in so many different ways that and the animation is usually typically – drawn after you do your dialogue, so they can many times, you know, change the character to fit some dialogue that is right, coming in later or whatever. But it's I love that aspect of it, really.
Brad Garrett, who is in the movie Elio, it's in theaters now. I loved it. I gave it a Dean's List A. We'll get into our food time segment coming up after we check WGN News, which is next. So, Andy, who should I be rooting for tonight now with Pacers in Oklahoma?
Well, if it's proximity related, you would go for Indiana because they're out of Indianapolis, of course. You know, they have never won it. Oklahoma City.
Never won?
Well, they never won the title, no.
Wow.
And
that's a huge basketball city.
Yeah, I mean, huge, of course, with the college game, with NCAA headquarters being there.
Yeah.
But Oklahoma City has won it once before, but that's back when they were the Seattle Supersonics before they moved from the Pacific Northwest to the Heartland. Mm. So there's a couple of interesting storylines as far as that goes.
I feel like I need to support Schwanny also because he is...
Yeah, he's an Indiana guy.
He's a Hoosier.
He is a Hoosier.
I need to support you, my brother.
That's the nicest thing you've said to me all morning.
Yeah,
let alone in 44 years.
Let's have a show endorse the Indiana Pacers today.
I don't want to spoil you. Are you rooting for the Pacers, Schwanny?
Sure.
Do you
Why not?
Care? You
yeah.
don't care.
Well, I do follow this, and it's I think it's fine actually, but
and why wouldn't you?
I'm continuing to watch baseball stuff, and as we get in, it won't be long. The Bears will be training camp.
There you go. I saw a number today. 78 days is apparently the number between now and when the Bears kick off the regular season.
Regular season.
Wow.
How many shopping days now left?
I don't know if that. I mean, that seems weird, but I think it's actually accurate. It's almost 3 months.
I can't help but think of the Bulls run.
Oh yeah!
Every time there's an NBA Finals, I just think back on those
back in the '90s. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, a bunch of my friends and I would gather to watch those games, and. If we did something during a game that they actually won, we repeated it pretty much verbatim because, of course, our superstitions had a lot to do with the outcome of all the games.
Yeah, you've got to do exactly the same thing.
So we
time.
Thought at least, we would call the pizza place that delivered to us to make sure the same driver was there.
Oh, wow.
Same thing on the pizza, same seats in my living room.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know you were that crazy.
Same commentary as we would get ready to watch the game.
Right.
Duplicate the conversations.
Yeah, duplicate. Yeah. I made the mistake of going for a bike ride before the first game.
Oh boy!
And I had to keep going on bike rides. It was just like, oh man, just lose a game so I can stop riding my bike for goodness sakes. But you know what? The thing is, as you watch these games, and as I was watching the Stanley Cup Final as well, I miss being invested in it. I miss having my heart in my
chest, in
my throat the entire series, and living and dying with every shot. Yeah. Especially when a hockey game would go to overtime in the playoffs. I mean, it was such a fun time to be around. Yeah.
That was so exciting. But I remember during the Michael Jordan years, especially the finals, I had no voice during the whole time from screaming.
Oh, yeah.
I would go to bars and stuff to watch the game because it was so much more fun.
Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't get a ticket, and of course you couldn't get a ticket.
Right.
But you'd go someplace to watch the game with the crowd and just screaming your head off. I'd show up for work, the next morning with no voice, playing Kenny G records on Casa del Smooth.
Casa del Smooth.
Oh, were you still there? I guess you would have been for the Bulls.
Yeah, mid-90s.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I guess I'm jumping on the Pace.
Yeah, let's go Pacers. Yeah, we have a Pace, buses here. Why not go Pacers?
I just figure I'm going to be spending so much time in Indiana at Crazy Kaplan's between now and the 4th of July. Johnny, you want the usual case of M80s?
Yeah.
I know that's what you love.
Dean Richards, WGN.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Once a year, we get to dust off the Mungo Jerry. Do we know the backstory, Schwanny? You're very knowledgeable on music. What's the Mungo Jerry story?
There is one, and I can't come up with it offhand. All I remember is when this record was a hit.
He had some killer lamb chop sideburns.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the YouTube video of this right now. I had some pretty good lamb chop sideburns.
I had some in the mid-70s also.
Yeah, back in the day, but this guy's...
No, there is a story about
a concept for a song.
You know, I find it funny.
I'm going to sing a song about summertime and then go... Here we go. Hey, you want to feel old? You want to know what year this was?
1970.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That's, you know, I was just going to say a minute ago, I tell younger people, I remember when this song was a hit. And they just kind of look at me and walk away.
Shwani, everybody looks at you and walks away. Hate to break it to you, but... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, because it just seems like yesterday. That's why, right?
Yeah, yesterday.
It doesn't seem like that long ago.
55 years ago.
It doesn't seem like that long ago.
I know. And I mentioned Summer in the City by the Lovin' Spoonful.
Yeah.
60 years next year for them when that was a hit. I remember when that was a hit, too.
Oh, boy. Maybe you should stop doing that.
I think I've learned because they don't pay any attention.
Well, they look at you like, okay, Grandpa, we'll get you your medication. Sit down. Would you like something easy to chew?
How about some pudding?
How about a nice vanilla tapioca?
Then when I bring up Polaroid cameras, they don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't even know what you're talking about with that.
Yo, come on.
Mungo Jerry was not a person, apparently. I'm looking it up.
The name of the group, and he was the lead singer?
I'm looking it up on the Wikipedia, which, of course, is always correct.
Mm-hmm.
It was a British rock band that was named Mungo Jerry. And the lead singer, was a guy named Ray Dorset, who worked for Timex. There's something that you youngsters also won't understand.
They won't understand what Timex is, yeah.
It takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
Yeah.
God, we're old.
That's good.
Oh,
I remember that.
This is hard to believe. The song only took 10 minutes to write. I'm surprised it took that long. which he wrote the song using a secondhand Fender Stratocaster. It's a guitar, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to call in Steve and Johnny on that. They're Steve, right?
Yep.
They are guitar experts. The song was recorded, blah, blah, blah. It was originally 2 minutes long. So in order to make it longer...
They added the...
They put in the sound of the motorcycle and repeated it. Weird. That's so weird. I would like to know how they got the idea of the ch ch ch.
That's just kind of a fun little rhythm to go along with it.
That's what made the song for me.
Yeah. Just kind of a fun little rhythm.
The song's lyrics, have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find, was used in a British advertisement, Drinking and Driving Wrecks Lives. It was featured in an advertising campaign to try to get people to not drink and drive.
Hmm.
Go out and see what you can find. There you go.
And another.
And now, on with the countdown.
Now, number 28. Yep, that's why I'm known as the Casey Kasem of the new millennium. Who's Casey Kasem, Uncle D? So we're going to get into the food time show here in a few minutes, and I thought we would focus in on hot weather foods. You know, foods that are great. We were talking about watermelon earlier. And even Dr. Kevin Most, who was on with us earlier, he chimed in saying, what a great... nutritionally, watermelon is fantastic in this weather. Nice cold watermelon. But what I like, what other are like great summertime foods? You know what I like? Let me start off. I like a nice cucumber.
Yeah, definitely.
I like a nice
cucumber salad.
Cucumber salad. You know what I'm going to make on TV this week? Interestingly, I bring this up. Not that I thought about this as a way to plug my cooking show.
Oh, of course not.
I would never do such a
never.
Thing.
You're too modest.
I am too. I don't like to brag.
No.
I don't like to self-promote.
No.
I don't like to self-promote.
No.
I'm actually very shy and demure.
Sure.
Don't you? When you think of me, don't you think of demure?
Oh, sure.
Not very convincing.
Oh, shut up. All right, so here's what I'm going to
make. Unassuming.
Here's what I'm going to make on Wednesday. Cold cucumber soup. Cucumber, dill.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Scallions. Tiny bit of yogurt just to thicken it up a little bit. Put it all in the food processor or blender. Good night, Irene.
Good night, Irene.
Those of you listened to the show last week heard us bring that up every 10 minutes last week. Doesn't that sound good, though?
Like it really does, yes.
Really nice and chill it, yeah. Real good.
Mm-hmm.
A nice chilled cucumber salad, maybe with a couple of croutons on top.
Well, with an oil and vinegar dressing, maybe some cherry tomatoes and onions in it.
Oh, baby.
There you go.
In the soup or in the salad?
In the salad. Yeah. Or in the soup, but in the salad, definitely.
That would be a nice topping on the soup.
Mm-hmm.
Some chopped tomatoes.
Some grated Parmesan cheese, maybe?
Ooh, now we're talking.
This is the creative end of the show.
Yeah, this is. These are fantastic. Andy, would you eat any of these things that we've talked about so far?
Yeah, the cucumber is okay. It's not my favorite of the veggies. You know, I kind of like the cousin, the pickle, a lot better than the cucumber, just for taste purposes.
I enjoy a nice pickle, a nice cold dill.
Yeah, those are fantastic.
On a hot day, you get a nice cold dill right out of the jar.
Yep.
That's good eating right there.
I agree.
What else is good? What else is good on us? Would we say cantaloupe we liked?
Cantaloupe. We mentioned cantaloupe, definitely. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Any type of a fruit salad, peaches.
Oh, I love
peaches.
This weather, I love
plums.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The stone fruits.
Mm-hmm. That's what you call them. Not stoned, but stoned.
Well, we have to make that distinction with our audience. We all know that the consumption dispensary consumption's a little high on our show on Sunday.
But again, I wait for peaches later in the season. They're not ready to go yet.
No, I agree. And is there anything worse than when you see a beautiful peach and you're really looking forward to it and you bite into it or cut it and it's mealy inside?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the worst feeling.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where she got them, but Melina, for our trip to Ravinia, we brought some fruit, and the watermelon she got was awesome. And the grapes were really good too. The green grapes.
Yeah.
I like the crunchy ones. You really can't have a soft grape. It just doesn't.
It's gross.
It doesn't taste very good.
Yeah, it's gross.
She had some cantaloupe in there, strawberries and blueberries.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Great mixture there. Yeah.
And of course, the presentation was very, very good.
Superb.
I like a nice kiwi.
Kiwi fruit. Yeah. Kiwi's good.
I just like the way it looks.
Strawberries.
I like any fruit that's fuzzy.
Fuzzy fruit.
Any fruit that's fuzzier than I am, I enjoy. I made a Mexican corn salad.
Oh, that's right.
How'd that turn out?
Oh, so delicious. I made it like a pasta salad. So I made pasta, put it on the side, and then I roasted the corn. And I made a sauce for it that was about 3/4 cup of mayonnaise with chili powder, with cumin, with there was a third There was a third spice. We've got all the ingredients posted, but it was like a, you know, like a Tex-Mex mix in the mayonnaise, very light. I didn't want to make anything too heavy with the mayonnaise, but just, oh, lime. I had fresh squeezed lime in
it. Oh, nice.
And you mix it with the corn. I put some black beans in it and some scallions. And oh,
that's excellent.
Delicious. It was, yeah. It was so refreshing. So I made that on TV as a pasta salad. And I went to my cousin's house last night. She had a little get together. So I thought, you know, there's nothing more delicious in this weather than roasted corn. I made the salad again, except I left the pasta out. It was just corn and all the other ingredients. And just as a kind of like a Mexican street corn salad, ice cold. Oh, it was delish.
That would be great. Yeah.
The lime makes it. The lime really makes it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I have to say about that? Good night, Irene.
WGN. Hey, good looking. Well, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something over me?
Eat it, eat it. Eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it.
Glorious food. Hot sausage and mustard.
It's 12:38. Time for Food Time, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. Oh, you mean the award-winning All Things Edible program heard every Sunday at this time, more or less? Yes, that's what we mean. Yeah, what do you say we eat? In this hot weather, we got to come up with some good recipes that are perfect. You know, nobody wants to turn the oven on. Nobody wants to have anything too heavy. Something light, something delicious. I'm going to be making on my TV cooking segment this coming Wednesday cold cucumber soup. I've made gazpacho several times, so I feel like my gazpacho recipe is already out there, which is also a cold soup. It's probably my favorite cold soup. Because I like the variety of all the different flavors, which are cucumbers and green peppers and tomatoes and what else? A little sherry vinegar goes back to the original Spanish recipes for gazpacho. But you simply mix all those up. Some people put tomato juice in it. You know what I had done a couple of times? I put clamato juice in it, and it gives it a slightly different flavor profile that is quite delicious. It all goes in a blender or a food processor. I don't process the heck out of it to where it's super smooth because I like it a little chunky. And then you put it in the fridge you want it as cold as possible without being frozen. Put it in the fridge for, 3-4 hours at least. If you can make it the day before, even better, because then all the flavors get to kind of meld together a little bit. But if you want my I've got two or three gazpacho recipes that I've done over the years. And you can see those, all the recipes, all the videos, WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. That's where we keep all the recipes and all the videos. And we send out the recipes, by the way, automatically every week. If you text the word cooks to 97999, text the word cooks to 97999, and whatever I cook on the show, we automatically send the recipe out to you. So if you don't mind that, but this cold cucumber soup, I don't think I've done a cucumber soup on the show before. I've made it at home several times, and it's really delicious, and it's really very, very refreshing. And it's a couple of those English cucumbers, the long ones, where most of the seeds are gone. They call them seedless cucumbers, but they're not. They're still seeds inside. So you can leave them in, or if you cut the cucumber in half, just take a spoon and scrape them out. In those long cucumbers, the English cucumbers, they are not prominent like they are in you know, regular old cucumbers. But you take a couple of those, dice them up a little bit, save about a half of it for garnish later on. But you're going to take those cucumbers, you're going to take some plain Greek yogurt, not vanilla, not flavor, just plain Greek yogurt. I would use the full fat. It's like 5% fat. It's much more delicious. And the purpose of that really is to just add a little creaminess to this whole thing. So you're not putting a lot in, maybe like a cup, in what is going to be a rather large yielding portion of cucumber soup. About a cup of the Greek yogurt. You're going to put in some fresh lemon juice. I recommend fresh squeezing it, much better tasting than the bottled lemon juice. That's all you've got. You know, that's fine. It's not the end of the world, but the fresh lemon juice definitely will taste a little better. Take one shallot, peel it and chop it up. One garlic clove all chopped up. One of the key ingredients in here is fresh dill. Almost all the stores have them in their produce departments now. And pick out a nice, you know, bunch of it. Trim it off of the big fat stalks. You don't want those big fat stalks in there. But dice that up pretty good. Also, take some parsley. Same thing. You want to put some of that in there. And then a little olive oil. It all goes into the blender. Put it into your blender or your food processor and get it, a fairly soupy kind of consistency. Again, I don't go too crazy with that because I like a little bit of, I like the feel of, tasting and crunching a little cucumber in there. So and you're going to have the cucumber flavor. You're going to have the dill. You're going to have the garlic, the shallot. You've got a lot of flavors going on in there that you want to be able to taste. So to that, then, a little salt, tiny bit of salt, a little bit of pepper. If you have white pepper, that's probably better than black pepper in something like this. And then take, put it in the refrigerator. Again, you're going to want to serve this as cold as possible. And for the garnish, take that little bit of diced cucumber that you saved. Use that as a garnish. Maybe some diced red onion on top of it, drizzled with a little bit of olive oil. And it is it's a really, really, really good, nice cold soup. Very refreshing. Not heavy at all. I'm going to make it on TV this coming Wednesday. So you'll be able to see me, go through the steps, and we'll have the full recipe, all the proportions and ingredients, everything, all posted on our cooking website, which is WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. Very, very easy to remember. Here's an interesting question, and I've often wondered this myself, which means I don't really have an answer. Dean, why are English cucumbers wrapped in plastic at the grocery store? I do not know the answer to that. Except I would take a guess because it's not covered in wax the way the other cucumbers are. Those other cucumbers, and I presume that it is some kind of a preservative function to make them last a little bit longer. The regular old cucumbers are... They are very not plastic, wax. They're dipped in a very thin wax. The regular cucumbers, these English cucumbers, I like better. I think they taste better. I like that there aren't too many seeds in it. I use it all the time. I put it in salads all the time. But I don't know why they dip one but wrap the other. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe if somebody knows. I would love to hear your guess on that. 312-981-7200. Somebody says from the 815, what do you serve with your cucumber soup to make it a meal? You could broil a little chicken on the side with it. You could top with some avocado. It's pretty complete. the way that it is, you don't really need a lot, you know, to fully embellish it and to make it a soup. I don't know. Maybe a grilled cheese sandwich is good with everything, but I'm not sure that I want to, you know, get the heat on and be making grilled cheese sandwiches in this hot weather. I think like a nice a nice chicken salad, maybe a nice tuna salad, you know, might be nice if you want to round this out a little bit. 312-981-7200. Here is an interesting one. Dean, speaking of cold soup, cold beet soup is delicious. It's a Eastern European treat. This is from Felice in Rockdale. Thank you for the suggestion on that. I think you're talking about borscht, right? I love cold beet soup. I have never made it myself, but I'm going to look up a recipe and see if I can share something with you here in a minute on that. That's a fantastic suggestion. Here is another for the hot weather. I like to make an orzo salad with dill, feta cheese, fresh garlic, and olive oil. You take the pasta, the orzo, and then just, you know, sprinkle in some dill, sprinkle in some crumbled feta cheese, some fresh garlic, a little bit of olive oil, some fresh squeezed lemon juice. That sounds absolutely fantastic. I love that. 312-981-7200.
WGN. Hailed by NPR as simply magnificent for their two-time Grammy Award-winning CSO resound recording of Verdi's Requiem Mass, Riccardo Muti and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra and Chorus bring this powerful work back to Chicago June 19th through the 24th at Symphony Center. They're joined by a thrilling quartet of international singers to once again deliver a masterful blend of passion and precision. Experience the full power of Verdi's ability to harness the human voice. For tickets, visit cso.org.
There's an amazing supper club in Wisconsin Dells, Ish Nala. Nestled among the pines and perched above the sandstone bluffs of Mirror Lake. The beauty, the history, the service, the food, the fun. Hi, this is Bob Prosser, owner of Ish Nala Supper Club in Wisconsin Dells. I've been a part of Ish Nala since 1973, and I am so proud to continue the tradition that began in 1953. Why not enjoy a brandy old-fashioned in one of our bars? Each with a spectacular view overlooking Mirror Lake, or just relax before or after dinner on one of our outdoor decks. Our Ishnala chefs have prepared your favorites, 24-ounce ribeye, cold water lobster tails, North Atlantic salmon, and of course, Ishnala's roast duck. Thank you for making Ishnala Wisconsin's favorite supper club, where the only thing we overlook is Mirror Lake. I'm Bob Prosser, and I want to serve you.
Lost your health insurance? You might be eligible for a special enrollment period on the Get Covered Illinois Marketplace. Our navigators can help. Go to getcoveredillinois.gov. Your health coverage starts here.
Don't you love summer in Chicago? But I bet you hate painting year after year, so do what your neighbor Rich did. He called Rhino Shield.
Aluminum siding built in 1961. It also had a lot of stains, and it was white, and we wanted to change the color.
And Rhino Shield comes with a 25-year warranty and is formulated specifically for our unique climate here in Chicago.
You know, we're told that it's hard to paint aluminum siding and get a good adhesion with regular paint, so Rhino Shield was great.
And just in time for summer Chicago, you can get the guaranteed protection of Rhino Shield for 20% off the regular price.
They came on a Saturday and power washed everything all around the house. And then they came back and did all the work on Monday and Tuesday. And in two full days, they worked on a Monday and were completely done by Tuesday.
This offer is for a limited time, so call now, 847-850-1132, 847-850-1132, or ChicagoRhinoShield.com.
Hey, go Rhino Shield!
Dean Richards, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Ha, 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 beautiful Sunday. This is my beautiful day.
12:50. the time. Careful outside. It is hot, hot, hot. Take all the necessary precautions on a day like this. That includes staying hydrated. We had Dr. Kevin Most on with us earlier in the show today, talking about best ways to stay hydrated, how often to stay hydrated, and with which fluid he recommends. He recommended alternating just plain old water with a sports drink. He recommended that you don't need an SPF lotion any higher than 40 SPF, I think is what he said. He said most people are wasting their money with SPFs higher than that. But you do have to reapply fairly often because you sweat it off. You can listen to that conversation. We'll post it up after the show today at WGNradio.com. We're in the middle of our Food Time show right now at 12:53. And here's somebody with an answer to the why do English cucumbers come with plastic wrappers and regular cucumbers do not. This makes sense to me. English cucumbers have a thinner skin than other cucumber varieties, and the plastic serves to protect them. Okay. That makes perfect sense to me, and they do have a thinner skin. That's for sure. I know when I use the English cucumbers, which I do almost exclusively now, I never peel them because the outer skin is just as good as the inside skin. It actually offers a nice flavor, to tell you the truth. Okay, I'm going to go with that. Somebody responding when I said you don't want to, get the grills going and all that to make a grilled cheese sandwich. 815 area code says grilled cheese in the air fryer. This is a fantastic idea. Why didn't I think of this? 400 degrees, 4 minutes on each side in the air fryer, and it doesn't heat up the kitchen. It doesn't, you got yourself a delicious grilled cheese sandwich, which I'm always up for. I could go for one right now, to tell you the truth. Let me see here. What else do we have? Oh, I was talking about a cold beet soup. Dean, Lithuanians eat cold beet soup in the summertime, and I am sending you a link to the recipe, which I am now opening, and let me see if I can kind of summarize this quickly. It looks super easy. The ingredients, 4 large eggs, 1 quart of buttermilk, 1 pound of beets, peeled and shredded, 1 large English cucumber, peeled, quartered, and sliced, a bunch of fresh dill, and some minced chives. And it says to place the eggs in a saucepan, cover with water by an inch, basically hard-boiling the eggs. Peel and chop the eggs and place into a large bowl. Add the buttermilk, the beets, the cucumber, the dill, the chives. Stir to combine and chill in the refrigerator for 24 hours and serve. Well, that's very different than the beet soup that I've had, but that sounds really tasty. The beet soup that I've had, it was pretty like liquefied beets, if I remember. A recipe that I saw on this, I've never made beet soup before, but I definitely am going to do it because I love it. 4 beets that you can either roast or boil. With skins on, and then it takes quite a while to fully cook a whole beet. Once that's done, put it under cold water when they're cold enough to handle, slip off the skins, slice them up and put them in a blender with 2 cups of cold water or cold veggie stock, half of a chopped onion, couple of garlic cloves, couple of cucumbers diced up, salt, pepper, a little vinegar, dill, blend it up until it's smooth. That sounds like the kind of cold beet soup that I've had before. We'll post those up, so if anyone is interested in that, you'll be able to make your own. Sounds good.